it may be duty free.
Today is May 15th, Monday, May 15th, Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting. The time is now 6 p.m.
Okay, go ahead.
Commissioner DeCesare and Commissioner Perry both said they would not be here.
Okay, fine, thank you. Okay, it's 6:02. Let's start the first beginning of this month's meeting. Can you join us for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recognize a moment of silence. Thank you. We do have a quorum. Absent this evening is Commissioner DeCesare and Commissioner Perry. Okay, our first item on the agenda is approval of the meeting agenda. Do we have an approval for the agenda? Did everyone have a chance to review it?
I make a motion we approve the agenda as written.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call.
Commissioner Penman-Pale.
Aye.
Commissioner Rickerson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
And Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Agenda has been approved. We're up to item number two.
Is this the agenda or the past meeting?
I just wanted to make sure that Commissioner Hall was aware of what we talked about at the last meeting about approval of the meeting agenda.
At the last meeting?
He wasn't here. That's why I said you wanted to bring it up. Did I approve the agenda today?
Okay.
You were fine. I just wanted you to know we had discussion about it at the last meeting.
Of the agenda, that if you wish to add to the agenda, the proper spot you have to approve the agenda. Matter of fact, you could do it when they're first sending it out, and you can send a recommendation, right. I'd like to add this to the agenda. Or on the first part, when we're approving the agenda, you can add something. Mm-hmm. If not, you do it in new business or old business. You even have other business. But when we're adjourning, we're not adding things to the agenda when we're up to the point of adjourning.
I'll make sure to.
Okay.
When we're adjourning. No.
If you're adjourning, you're going to be sitting there on your own.
Was there additional change to the forum, public forum also?
Don Brown asked him to be able to speak at the end of the meeting. He's asked for special privilege.
And but that's all it was for that moment, the special privilege.
That was just for that meeting only.
That meeting only.
Okay. And it was granted just
for yep.
Yes.
Him. He was acting in an official capacity.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Let's clear that up, too. It wasn't our official capacity.
He was acting as
his official capacity.
Okay. I think he made it clear.
It wasn't.
He made it clear.
The record won't show we had made ask him to do something for us.
No, I think the record's clear.
Okay.
Okay. And has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a motion to approve the minutes of our regular board meeting held Monday, April 17th.
I move we accept the minutes of the previous meeting as written.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we got a second. Any discussion?
Robinson.
Okay. Any discussion, questions? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Penman-Pale.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Present.
Present.
Commissioner Sanders.
But not present.
Commissioner Robinson?
Here. I mean, yes. Approved. Yes.
Okay. We're up to item number three, the public forum. That crowd out there, anyone want to talk? No. There's the public forum this evening. We're up to item number four, any new business?
No, sir.
Item number five, old business, LHA recovery plan. Was there a recovery plan committee meeting this?
Yep.
What's going on?
It was on Thursday.
Oh.
It was Thursday. Yes, the recovery committee met on Thursday, May the 11th at 2:30, and present was Commissioner Hall and myself. And the report coming from the executive director indicated that the Westlake Phase 1 is still waiting for response from HUD. They have weekly contact with them, and they were just waiting for the response from them. All the paperwork has been submitted, and that the lack of hearing from them still won't affect the deadline. We'll be able to make the deadline. Hopefully we'll hear from them. The relocation plan has been submitted and waiting for response also. Phase two, Chicago offices are handling that, and we're also waiting for preliminary approval from them. But one thing in phase two that you should be aware of, that the privatization of the Main Street increase, we have to privatize the street. The city, the cost to have the city do it was not conducive to our budget. Increase in the fee will be offset by some fee to offset the cost of us maintaining that street. So we're going to have to maintain the street. That came up last meeting, and we finally found out that it will be considered a private street, and therefore we will have to maintain it. But we will get an increase in the fees, which will offset some of the cost. The negotiations on the Cambridge property, on the Cambridge Cove property, we've dropped the negotiation, the formal negotiation on that, and we're just because of the indication of the amount of money they wanted down, non-refundable, so that we're no longer in active negotiation. We're just waiting to see if there's any change in the price that we may enter in some kind of negotiation. But right now, for the record, all the negotiation has been stopped on the Cambridge Cove. Williamstown, the groundbreaking is tomorrow, as everybody knows, and we're all excited that Department of Labor is helping Youthville supporting the construction of three units, which is great for Youthville, and they'll be using them in other capacity also if needed. The CMAQ certificate of Section 8 for the funding disbursement is being managed due to the way that the money is being released, and we'll hear more about that in the financial reports. The property of Bartow, well, we're down because three families had deaths within a matter of almost days. So there's been three deaths in that unit, in that facility, and three of the units will be they're moving the slow because of the death. The families just didn't move out all of a sudden, so they had to make sure they took care of their personal business so that they're slow moving out. But within 10 days, we should be back up to full capacity over there. And we talked about the micro cottages at Williamstown, and there is artist renditions that will be available at the site tomorrow for people to see just what they look like, and any question that might come up, we're going to be able to answer those questions. We hope to get coverage from the ledger that we heard. The press release went up.
He asked a question, so hopefully he'll let me he'll be there.
Okay. And hopefully we might get some TV coverage, we don't know. And that was basically what transpired. Commissioner Hall, you have anything to add?
Would the Lakeland government television possibly be there?
I don't know. That's no
idea.
They've been invited, right? Them.
No, I don't have a contact with Urban Access TV. But to the ledger, Bay News 9, Fox, I think it was Channel 8, and Fox indicated, I guess it was a slow news day, they'll be there.
Unless something else comes up, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Something better happens.
Do you have anything to add to the report?
No, just want to say it's at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Hopefully everyone will be there. Mr. Robinson, are you available? You had responded.
Because
we have 15 shovels, and they'll, until they last, too, for the groundbreaking. We'll let our commissioners, the speakers, and then anyone else, I think, with 15 shovels, hopefully we should be able to get all our VIP dignitaries a shovel. So, but that the
end of the ceremony. That's why we're closing out with the everyone digging up some dirt.
Okay. And that starts at 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the spotter for any dignitaries that we don't know? That
we all are going to do that, but Lori is going to compile the list, and then we'll give that to you so you can announce.
Okay. All right, that ends our report.
We kind of have an idea who's going to be there based on who RSVP.
Okay.
And so we'll give that to you.
Well, do you know exactly where it will be on the property?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm wondering yeah. about my wheelchair and getting stuck in the sand. We got enough concrete
for you.
Okay.
Now when we do the groundbreaking, now that one may not be the hell that may have to put you on the grass for that.
Okay. I don't want to get stuck and make a scene. And have all the city commissioners tugging me out with a big.
That's what we got the show to do.
That's what we got the show for. Put one on the wheels and get you out.
Basically, the stage is going to be on the street itself. Okay. And we have some chairs in front of the stage as well, again on the street on Williamstown Boulevard. And then we'll go on to the grass or either onto the site to
okay. There'll be a stage.
Yes.
Will there be a ramp?
The city stage that they use for these type of events. It's a covered stage.
It's a van, right? That like a tractor trailer type thing that they open up?
Yeah.
One exactly. of those, a semi trailer. Yeah.
And then we'll go behind that for the photo op. Mm-hmm. And if 15 folks want to be in the photo op, we may have to put you on the dirt. Well, the other people okay. can put you well, on that's, the grass.
Yeah, so I'm just, I don't want a scene like when we were at a forum and everybody was up on the stage, but me, because there wasn't a ramp, and there was a violation of the ADA that was in the ledger on the front page.
Yeah. On the stage, it's only going to be the speakers. Everyone else is going to be in the street. And then, again, after the ceremony, we'll conclude with the little shovels. And do you mind being on the grass?
I don't mind. I'm just... I don't want opportunities for the press or for
take
advantage
now,
of opportunities.
There's no handicap ramp. Okay, there's no handicap ramp on that street for us to put
right.
you up. So
right, but I'm just saying on the stage in particular because
no, that stage is elevated because there are stairs and they may actually have a handicap ramp on that one.
Okay, I wanted but, to put but up you on see what one. I'm saying.
I see what
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it brings memories back to me, yeah. and I don't need that.
Just so you know, the only commissioners to be on the stage are Reverend Smith, the MC, and Commissioner Pimentel, who is given the occasion. Okay. The rest of you all be out in the audience. We will recognize you, okay, but you won't come up on the stage.
Okay.
All of the speakers will be on the stage.
You know the PA system?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll have refreshments as well. Mm. Juices, bagels, muffins, cookies, coffee. Those that drink that stuff.
Okay.
And water.
And water.
Yeah.
I'm thinking chicken, man.
Chicken and waffle.
Oh, okay.
Gladys doesn't deliver.
Okay, then we're up to item number 6, Secretary's report.
Submitted as read.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, housing and operations.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. The secretary's report consists of what? Oh, is this submitted as written.
It basically just gives you updates on the projects. And basic activities that I do that's separate from the, it includes some stuff that's in the recovery update, but then you get some information that's different, like, say, my activities where I meet with a partner or something like that.
Okay, most of that would just be in these pages.
I'm sorry?
Most of that would be in these pages here.
It'll be in the secretary report, yeah, right. Which is starting in section 6.
Right, and I read through that and see a lot.
And they had that when I first came here. And then I guess we've been doing a recovery plan. That started about 2 years after I got here. And stuff, so that way, so that everyone could be focused on have a what to look for, the updates on how the recovery is going with the agency.
Okay.
It was pretty important about 3 years.
Housing and operations.
For 4 years in a row, the Section 8 department was able to obtain the high performer classification from HUD. We received the letter this week after we had the meeting with the the meeting with the commissioners on Wednesday.
The recovery.
Right now we're going through a bunch of proposed changes and reading them. Hopefully HUD is not going to change significantly, but everything points to that they're going to start changing most of the rules and funding and everything. Starting January next year, so everybody's trying to get ready. So that's what we're trying to do too.
Is there anything above high performer if that's the top?
No, that's the top.
We're always at the top.
Everybody at the bottom.
I'm just saying, I'm wondering if there was anything above that. If we reach that status, what else is there to get to if we've already, if we keep reaching that status? That's what we push
well,
for.
Well, the good thing about
the White House.
The White House.
So we can be fired? Come on, guys.
I know, right? You're going to pledge your loyalty? The good thing about the high performer status is that you get to do some things that a standard performer doesn't get to do. And then if there's like some money that's taken from low performing agencies, you get to share in that pot for the type of time. So.
That's awesome.
That's good.
But we haven't gotten any of that money yet. So.
I like that. I'll take money from low performers. Take it from the New York City Housing Authority. They low perform all the time. Okay. Administration.
Okay, well, we'll start with Central Office Cost Center. It has positive NOI for both the period and year to date. The key that I'd like to point out with COCC is that I'm still waiting for us to complete our reconciliations because between COCC and Youth Bill sharing the account, and then the Youth Public Housing report showing that there may be funds that are owed to Youth Bill, but again, I have to make sure that we've got everything back before the auditor gets here the week of the June 12th before we actually transfer any money. So the good thing is COCC has positive NOI for both the period and year to date, but I always say with caution that there's a possibility that that money will be transferred to Youth Bill. And then when you look at our balance sheet, we have $62,000 in cash, which is consistent with the end balance that we have on the cash statement. And I'll go ahead to Section 8. Section 8, both the administration and the HAP have negative NOI for the period and year to date. But this still is a result of, one, we're having to use our reserves. We had talked about that before last month, that when you have reserves, HUD Hill reserves, you actually have to use those by either absorbing clients from other agencies. Also, we have the experience of that Section 8 nationwide is getting 94% of the subsidy that they qualify for. We used to be at 97% nationwide. We don't know where things are going to fall out to actually funding, because I guess we have a continuing resolution that gets us to September. But we won't actually know what the funding falls out to be until they actually come up with a permanent budget. So until then, just know we do have funds in HUD Health Reserves that we'll continue to use. And we also have cash in our operating account. If you go to the balance sheet, it's showing $358,000 total in cash, including the restricted and the non-restricted, and that is consistent as what's showing in the statements of cash. The only difference is, unlike COCC, when you look at your beginning and ending balances for both period and year to date, they're negative, but that's a result of us not getting as much subsidy as we historically have been getting, and also in the fact that we're having to use reserves. So that's expected. Public housing, AMP 1, has positive NOI before depreciation for the period of year to date. Again, that's good because between COCC and public housing, we know one or the combination of the two has to transfer funds into youth bill. When you look at the balance sheet, I wanted to point out something specific for public housing. You see a total cash of $2.5 million. If you look into the accounts and notes receivables, you'll see a due from development, 10th Street, and it's a negative $1.3 million. That's the sale of the land. Before, when you were looking at the income statement, our NOI was looking, it was skewed because you had that sale that happened during the month. Now you see that that money has been transferred from public housing to the AMP that is actually holding the property. So if you were looking at that property's report, you would see that they now have cash. The asset went from land to cash to the tune of $1.3 million. But if you look at total cash, the $2.5 million, which includes the $1.3 million, that is still sitting in the public housing account, which is consistent with the statement and cash report. And that is because I officially have to do, I have to take HUD's approval letter that you saw last year from Williamstown and then give the bank authorization to transfer the money that belongs to Williamstown to a separate account. But we had to wait for that letter to come and then actually do the paperwork with the banks and then do the signature cards and everything. So we'll be going to the board chair and vice chair to ask them to sign signature cards for the bank for Williamstown specifically. But just wanted you to be able to see the flow of where the money was going. Dakota Park Partnership, it has negative NOI for the period and year to date for before depreciation. If you look at actual rental income, you'll see that this property manager is actually collecting rents higher than budgeted. She's at 7.8% for the period, 6% for year to date. And you'll also see that HUD recognizes that we got less subsidy January through March, because in April for the period, your subsidy payment was $9,150, which is 47% higher than what we anticipated. But despite the additional subsidy from HUD, and despite the property manager collecting rents and trying to keep expenses in line, we have negative NOI before depreciation, and that's attributed to the formula that tells you that when you're doing units, if you want a property to be sustainable on its own, you really need to at least have 50 units or as close as you can get to the 50. This is 40 units. So what we'll just have to do is continue to manage this property tightly, be frugal with the money, only pick our expenses, the things that we fix stuff that's a life safety issue versus stuff that will be curb appeal until we either exit the property next year and or we find another way to combine it with another project to try to get the units up or do something different renovation-wise. If you look at the balance sheet, it's saying that your total cash should be about $42,000, and that is consistent with the statements in cash. And again, if you look at the end and beginning balances between the period and the year-to-date, they're positive. So HUD recognizes that they need to give us more subsidies, just not enough to make up for the fact that the property, even when you're collecting rents higher than anticipated, doesn't bring in enough cash to pay all the expenses. When we go to Renaissance, it has a positive NOI for the period and year-to-date. Renaissance had one of the things I wanted to point out for Renaissance is that they had another activity. This is the same property manager that manages Dakota. She is very active in having events. They actually had a Mother's Day event with New Life Outreach Ministry that occurred on Friday the 12th. Her cash, total cash, is $1.2 million. And then when you compare that to the statements in cash, it is consistent. And again, they got additional subsidy from HUD because HUD realized they undersubsidized this property in January through March. And your statements in cash show that both your beginning and ending balances have positive statements in cash. Colton Meadow, nothing extraordinary to point out about Colton. Both the NOI for the period and year to date is positive before depreciation. There are no unusual items happening with expenses other than maintenance. We had staff painting units. We also did some replacement of appliances. Colton Meadows had an audit by the investor last week, so a lot of the increase that you see in the expenses was staff just coming around, double-checking the units, fixing things that they saw, helping with the curb appeal. They had a perfect inspection, I should add. No findings on that one, so obviously they did a good job and the money was well worth being spent. Total cash is $668,000. If you compare to the balance sheet, that's consistent, and you also see that there are positive changes in cash for the period and year to date. Bonnet Shores had had negative NOI for the period, but positive NOI for year to date. Things that I wanted to point out for Bonnet Shores that the things that we have to look at is utility expenses were 37% higher for the period than what we anticipated with the water and sewer. And I know the manager has been working with the executive team to try to resolve the issues with the utility expenses. And then they recently had an audit from the inspector in March, so they're still probably having to recover from all the work that they did on that audit. And they also had tree removal that happened during this reporting period. When you look at the balance sheet and compare it to the cash statement, it's $787,000, which is consistent. The difference is for the period, you see negative changes in cash, and I'm thinking that's due to the work that they were doing with the audit, plus the utility expenses. And I believe, didn't you add a maintenance person at it? Property or they have bought them?
It's the same.
Okay, it's the same. But there is positive for year to date. We'll just have to keep an eye on it to try to get the change statements in cash positive for both the period and year to date. West Bartow has positive NOI for the period and year to date. But I should add with Bonnet. Bonnet also, it's good that they have positive cash for year to date because they paid off all their deferred developer fees, so they don't owe Polk County housing developers any money. So right now, all of the money that they're collecting, any cash flow that they have is going to other investors because all of LHA's entities have been paid 100% and it's going to improving the property. They do not owe this agency any additional money. So keep that also in mind when you're thinking about the cash flow. Wes Bartow, just looking to see if there's anything that's outstanding, and I don't think it is. The total cash is $544,009. The ending balance cash is $544,600, so that $300 is probably something that just ain't clear, but their cash position for the period and year to date are both positive. And then, of course, our biggest surprise is Hampton Hills, because we anticipated getting no subsidy. And as you can see, HUD recognized that they were under-subsidizing the property, and they had a 124% increase in grant revenue than what we anticipated, which has helped it have positive NOI for the period and year to date. And they also, believe it or not, received cash for May, not just April. So HUD has recognized that they had us running that property lean for all of last year. And then their cash balance, according to the balance sheet, is $236,000. That's consistent with the statement, cash statement. And because of the subsidy that the property received from HUD that we didn't anticipate getting, you have positive changes in cash for both the period and year to date. And then, like I said, youth bill is the one that we still have to get reconciled and resolved before the auditors get here the week of the 12th, June 12th. It has negative NOI for the period and year to date. Part of that, like I said, when you look at the balance sheet, is because there's that $76,000, which is in the public housing account. But again, we have to remember that youth bill and COCC was sharing a bank account, so it's really a three-way transaction. But if you look at the statement, financial statements for both COCC and public housing, they have positive NOI. They both have cash. So however the numbers fall out, youth bill's money is there to be transferred to youth bill once it's resolved. And then if we go to the grant reports, nothing's unusual with the grants report. We did submit our first voucher to HUD for Williamstown, and we're waiting for that to be funded. When that voucher is funded, when you look at the 2009 RHF funding, which you'll find in the middle of the spreadsheet, which is the first two grants, those have to be expended by this year, one in July of 2017, the other one October 2017. That's the distribution end date. That funding will be spent by that time frame. But what I do realize is that on the other grants, I'm thinking I missed where they updated, because some of these funds aren't having to be expended. The rest got extended to the 2014 deadline of 2018. So I do need to make that change in the next board report. And I can show you that from ELOCs. And then the only other thing that I wanted to point out from the administration report is, one, you'll start seeing photographs of the Williamstown construction. So on May 3rd, when I submitted the draw to HUD, I also showed what the site looked like before we started clearing. And of course, if you've been by there now, you notice those trees have not only been cut down, they've also been mulched and hauled off the site. And then youth bill, Lakeland will be celebrating 10 years in July, so when you look at the youth bill report, there should be a mention of the save to date for the youth bill. National office is actually sending a speaker out to celebrate. There'll be an event. So the next invitation we'll be sending you will be to come to youth bill's 10th anniversary. And that concludes the administration report.
Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Then we're up to resolutions. Resolution number 17-1443.
At the recovery meeting, we were asked what the difference between the proposed policy and the existing policy.
I think if you look at that sheet there, you'll see there's a big difference and a definite need for a more detailed policy. And one of the reasons, Mr. Hall, that we requested this was because of some people were, several people have, some were handling the travel policy different. For example, like one person even submitted, they rented a car and then they submitted receipts for the car and a mileage reimbursement. And so, you know, to eliminate that kind of confusion, we thought we would come with a travel policy for both commissioners and staff. And so that's the resolution that y'all have today. And this, it was, the template was given to us by legal counsel. And we made a couple of tweaks to it. I think legal counsel signed off on the tweaks. So.
So this now clarifies the question about before. It wasn't clear whether we had the whether the policy applied to the commissioners or not.
Exactly.
This clears that up.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. We have a motion to accept Resolution 17-1443.
I move we accept Resolution 17-1443 as submitted.
Okay. I second the motion. Any questions? Comments?
What is what's the real, what's considered reasonable expense?
For like a flight or for a rental car or for what?
Okay.
I can give you an example of both if you like.
For the, let's just say somebody is cheaper to fly. That's reasonable. It's cheaper to fly as well as to drive in a situation. Let's just say you're going to Tennessee. It would be cheaper to fly there as opposed to drive. So the reasonable expense would be the flight. What if a commissioner wants to drive? Would you just give him the money for the flight? The reasonable expense will be given to that person. And any expense as far as traveling would be aboard by the commissioner.
But for the council.
I think sometimes you got to look at a case-by-case basis right. on some of that stuff.
Well, I can understand that now, yeah.
Well, but again, you need a policy to drive it, and that's sure. what the policy is about. So since I got deferred to, I'll just tell you my experience with this. Mm-hmm. Which is not in the policy, and that's why I think sometimes it has to be a case-by-case basis. There's another housing authority where there was a conference that was in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. It was way out west. A commissioner said that they had a medical issue mm-hmm. that didn't allow them to fly. So they wanted to drive their van all the way out there, mm-hmm. all the way back. It was more for them to drive than the plane ticket. Mm-hmm. But they had a doctor's note which indicated that whatever their issue was temporary and flying was not recommended. Mm-hmm. So there was an adjustment, a one-time adjustment made for that particular situation. If it's a convenience matter, then I think it's more, it raises more of a question as opposed to a medical reason or some other reason like that. I don't know if I can give you an answer unless there's a scenario.
Well, the scenario is, what if a commissioner wants to take his family with him? His wife or his girlfriend, his wife, him, that difference. And they want to drive, brother.
You
drive.
Realize this is on the record, right?
What's your name again, sir?
And they were in the
force of band.
They just said flight is $200 and driving is $400. If they want to pay the difference, why don't you just pay the reasonable, which says here, reasonable charge, reasonable expense?
And that's why I said it's on a case by case basis because that really is a convenience as opposed to a necessity. And
Well, I think we need to put in here something to that effect. But it says reasonable means reasonable to me. Necessity as opposed to health-wise, is, I don't see it in here. So what's reasonable?
That's because I think a policy needs to cover all of the normal occurrences. If you make a policy too specific, then you're going to have a policy that's 50 pages as opposed to setting the parameters. Reasonable, I think, and especially what you're talking about, can be either decided by staff or it can be brought to the board since you're a commissioner as to whether it's reasonable or not. Keep in mind now you have other things which the policy alludes to at the end that are not in this policy because we didn't want to reinvent the wheel, which affects your travel as a commissioner that will, if there's any change, it has to come to the board. That is, you have essentially a travel wallet, if I'm not mistaken, that's still what your policy is. When you use up your travel wallet, if you want to travel and the rest of the commissioners want to allow you to dip into their wallet, that doesn't become a staff issue. You bring it to the board and the board decides whether you want to do that. So some of the reasonable pieces may just have to be, like I said, on a case-by-case basis. So I'm not trying to avoid your question. I'm trying to say you can really make a policy too specific. You need some leeway in some of these policies. Okay. And since this is a hypothetical question, if you, for instance, decided to take your wife and your girlfriend...
Well, no, see, it's still on, isn't it?
That's why I'm trying to help you.
But don't say it.
I said it's hypothetical. If you wanted to take your wife and your girlfriend and you wanted to pay the additional expense and you wanted to come put it on the record and tell the board, I just want what would normally be what I would pay for a flight, and I will pay the addition. And if that's agreeable to the board, I think that's the way you solve that.
Well, the board doesn't have
the reason why it's important to distinguish now between board members and staff is for staff, it's much simpler. If a staff member wants to do the same thing you want to do, they go to their executive director and ask, is that a reasonable expense?
And then they, not for staff.
Especially if they use the same circumstances we're using here, where it's travel with wife and girlfriend. Frankly, I don't think you could get out of the state if you decided to take your wife and your girlfriend. But that's just me.
If the board agrees to it, I think we just go ahead and go along with whatever he's saying. But it doesn't make real good sense. If it says reasonable, then let's find out what's the cheapest route to go, flight or driving, and give that person that. That person won't go by boat.
But that could be considered reasonable. I'm just saying that putting it in the policy, I think is too specific.
Okay.
You want to bring it back to the board. I'll give you an example.
But that's all I want to do. I don't want to have to come to the board and ask permission to go on a trip that's already specified.
But you're not asking permission to go on the trip. You're asking permission for how you're going to be reimbursed. It's a difference. And by the way, sometimes you might have to ask permission to go on the trip if your travel wallet is empty.
Yeah, and I think a good rule of thumb would be, some of you have worked for in various government entities, like the school board, or either like a city government or whatever. Would you ask that same question?
Would I?
Of that employee.
I did.
And what would their response?
Oh, we had to go to New Orleans. Some of the group flew, and I drove because I wanted to drive. And we had the option. This is what it would take, the least expensive amount of money to go up there. That's what they gave each one of each one of us that was looking for, trying to bring teachers back. And that's what happened.
But you said that was the least expensive. Your scenario we talked about before, it would be more expensive, and you just wanted to pay the difference.
You know, in some way on number 7, it covers that. It is really simple. It is so simplistic that we can't spend an hour on it. He's just saying, give me the plane fare and I'll do the difference. That's all. So if the plane trip costs him $300, he's going to drive. We're just giving him $300.
That's it. It's very simplistic. He's just going to pay the rest. And I think it's almost in a way covered in 7. You know, approved travel of a spouse, partner, or children, matter still remains sole responsibility of the commissioner.
I agree that along with reasonable covers it.
Right.
But if you drill it down too much, I think it gets to be too specific. And I hate to use this as an example, but cause I hate reasonable just as much as you do. But even our Government in the Sunshine rules use the term reasonable time frame, and which, you know, makes people crazy because there's no definitive.
Right.
But this gives the leeway to your fellow board members.
Yeah. Yeah. And also to, if a commissioner asks a question that makes me uncomfortable, I prefer that they went to the board and got that, because that's always going to be my response.
I think
we as the board need to be conscious of the fact that this is federal money that we're dealing with.
Yes.
Every commission has an allotment of what to spend. If you're ever audited and these things come up with a question, why did you do this and why didn't you, you better be able to defend it or else somebody might go to jail.
But that's a regular audit, the IG audit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so we got to be careful. I mean, it's just not an open-ended checkbook. Our job is to be responsible for overseeing the disbursement of the money and how it's handled. A couple of the housing authorities have been under investigation for the same reason. They'll be abusing the privileges. And overspending the money and just taking these trips and submitting bills for partying on
government dollars.
Yeah, you just can't do it. I mean,
and actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because you bring it to the board, that's your cover.
That's right.
The board approved it, it was on the record. I mean, not the part about the girlfriend, but I mean additional amount. It's on the record. You're approved by your fellow board.
Does this policy come in line with the Faro's policy?
Don't know, because I don't even know what Faro's policy is.
So Faro doesn't have a policy set as far as across the board for housing authorities?
No, now keep in mind that Faro is a trade organization. It's not necessarily where you go to get your policies and that type of stuff. The reason why I like this policy is because it's kind of been in use somewhere else. The majority of it has been in use somewhere else. It's kind of been tested. It's been tweaked several times. So I know it's a good policy and can work well for everyone. And the way it was originally written, it was for everybody. They didn't add in commissioners later. Everybody was considered when the policy was first put together. So I worked on this probably about 5 or 6 years. So it's been in the field that long.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay. We had we're up to roll call, Brenda.
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Pinmontel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye. Okay, resolution 17-1443 passes. Okay, we're up to item number 7, legal report.
Just briefly, commissioners, first of all, that discussion was on Patrick's watch. We hadn't gotten to legal. That was not part of that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I really don't have a report tonight. I saw a report that came out on watch a few minutes ago that the president shared classified information
with the Russians
last week. I don't think I could top that, so I'm going to defer until next month. I'm still processing that myself.
Remember, I said earlier, the White House.
I told you.
That just came up.
Yeah.
That was
earlier.
Yeah.
But that's
just popped up. With the ambassador
that's
and everything.
That's fake news.
It's fake news. thank you for helping
from the Washington Post.
So I need not to look at it because it's fake news. I appreciate it.
Who are you going to believe? Him or your lying eyes?
Hey. I think that's been clarified.
I'm offended because I thought Sanders was reputable and they're from Atlanta, but everything you see in Atlanta comes out of Atlanta is fake.
Well, we don't have to worry about fake news soon because he's going to stop having press conferences.
I know.
Press briefings. So.
It'll all be on Twitter.
So, I have to join Twitter now to find out what's going on in my country.
Okay, since we cut down his legal report, good.
Actually, the president did it. Go ahead.
The president does that all the time. Then we're up to item number 8, other business. Any other business?
I just want to add an additional clarification regarding the demo dispo application. We did get a response from the psych office, okay, their inquiries, and we responded to all of their questions, but they were still saying they could not see it. And so we contacted their TA person, say, hey, we submit all this, blah, blah, blah. And so we printed a paper copy, okay, and I've also emailed copies to the psych staff. And then we got a call today from the TA guy at psych saying, I can see it.
Okay. Yeah.
I got one more email from them just a few minutes ago. She said, we're in line, but she has a few more applications in front. So she will get to our application as soon as she can.
When she gets to it.
At least they got it.
Yeah. At least she admitted it.
And that's an update because she told me she was going to throw it back in the pool. Oh, so, that's good.
Okay. Then if there's no other business, then I move we adjourn.
Don't forget to take your groundbreaking gifts because we wanted to make sure commissioners got them before we got to the site, just to make sure you have them. And then groundbreaking gifts have been set aside for commissioners, assessor, and commissioner Ferry to give to them the next time that they're in the office. So there's two. One is the, I guess I'll let you open them up and look at them.
Who's yours?
Paperweight.
Carlo.
Just want to show you real quick.
How many commissions are going to be there?
Was that before or after?
Meeting adjourned at 6:55 p.m.
The private street, Bend Avenue.
Before.